You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheStore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is all about the Cavs draft. So the Cavs, as we and you probably know, are going to pick number 5 overall in this year's NBA draft. They are behind a really interesting order of teams. So the Pelicans go to 1, the Lakers go to 4, the Knicks go to 3, the Grizzlies go up as well. It's a draft that I think the Cavs, benefit from some of the teams in front of them. I think they obviously are hurt a bit by slipping, but I don't think this is an outright disaster for the Cavs. So they are going to pick 5 and pick 26. Those are their sort of set order now for this June's draft. 5, in terms of this context of the draft, I think works for them because if you look at the way things played out, we obviously know New Orleans is going to take Zion. And you go to 2, and you're going to have the Memphis Grizzlies getting a choice of Ja Morant or RJ Barrett. Now, I think the Cavs obviously would like to have their pick of those guys. I think RJ would make a lot of sense for them if they could pick anyone they wanted, and in the non-Zion category. But I think overall, like, that's okay. So then you go to 3, you get the Knicks. They're gonna take probably the one of Barrett and Morant that doesn't get taken 2nd. So then you get to 4. The Lakers are sort of the wild card in all of this. So they could take someone like Darius Garland. That's the guy ESPN has them currently mocked to. That could be a thing. They could obviously try to trade the pick. Does that go to New Orleans, where New Orleans gets the number 1 pick and they get the number 4 pick? Like, that could be a thing as well. So really what happens there could really interest them in a way that we're just not understanding now, and that could push the Cavs sort of availability of who they could get in a certain direction. I think it's also likely, though, that 5 works out for the Cavs because I just don't see a real scenario where they're not going to get someone that I think makes sense for them. So I think if you're looking at, the obvious order here is Zion and then some combination of Barrett and Morant. You get to 4, could be Garland, it could be, maybe Jarrett Culver goes that high. Maybe, there's a reach for someone a bit higher. But I think at the very least, the Cavs are going to have a shot at 5 to get someone that they like. If you're looking for names, I think the obvious one is DeAndre Hunter. He is the guy ESPN currently has the mock to. Hunter is the 6'8 forward from Virginia. He was great in the national championship game against Texas Tech, 27 points and 9 boards in that game, made 4 or 5 threes. He's a really good defender. He's positionally versatile, good defender, quick, all of these things. We'll see what his 3-point numbers look like in the NBA. We'll see sort of what his upside is in the NBA. He doesn't strike me or, smarter draft people as someone who is going to be like a potential evolutionary player or turn into someone who's a superstar, but I think Hunter could be a really good NBA player, and the Cavs need guys like that. And then you look at someone like Jarrett Culver, maybe he goes to 4. Like, let's say New Orleans wants to take someone, they get the Lakers pick and they make a trade. Culver, to me, could be something interesting for them there. But he's 6'6". He's got the Paul George comp, which I think is really interesting, and there's definitely, I think, some upside there. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He's super versatile. Is a good rebounder. Can create his own shot a bit. I think that's an interesting fit with Colin Sexton, with Jetty Osmond, with Kevin Love. I think there's something really interesting there to mine in Culver. I think he can make sense. Now, Coby White can make sense too. So Coby White could be someone who You know, if let's say that John Beilein, who we'll get to more in a minute, is someone who, you know, doesn't think Colin Sexton's the lead guard for his offense, maybe he looks at someone like Coby White and kind of entrust him. You know, he's 6'5", he's really quick in the open court, he's a good shot maker, he fits the modern game really well, and he can shoot. And I think, you know, you could theoretically play him and Sexton together. You know, he at 6'5", he should be able to defend at least some twos in the league. And I think that could at least make him fit with Sexton, so they could go that way. You know, Cam Reddish could be there as well. Reddish is someone who is an enigma. He is the afterthought of the Duke Big Three. I felt very awkward for him that he was at the draft lottery, and Zion and, you know, and RJ are on the jump talking with Rachel Nichols and Billups and Jay Billis and Jay Williams, and he's just there, not really engaging. But he's long. He's got fluidity. He could be a shooter. You know, I don't think he's a great fit with the Cavs, but you could see them going there and trying to shoot for the stars a bit if they believe in the upside of Reddish. Some people will, I think, throw out the idea of a trade. I think, you know, Atlanta, if Atlanta loves someone at 5, maybe they offer 8 and 10 or something where, like, the Cavs guarantee to get their pick next year. You could do that. I would rather just keep 5 and take the best guy available. I don't love guys later in that mock. If like Coby White, Hunter, and Culver's gone, then you're like gonna have to take someone like Reddish. I don't think like Jackson Hayes or Brandon Clark really fit what they need. I don't love PJ Washington. Like, I think there are much more questions once you get down in that range. So I wouldn't be super comfortable trading back to like 8 and 10, let's say in Atlanta. So I would say 5, sticking there, finding the best guy available for the Cavs in that spot is a reasonable, smart thing to do. So look, I don't, you know, would it have been fun if the Cavs got Zion? 100%. Would it have been fun if the Cavs could have at least had a chance to get Barrett or Morant? 100%. Those are guys that are going to have, I think, more upside than whomever the Cavs take. But being 5, I think all things considered, isn't that bad. I think, you know, getting Hunter or getting Culver or getting Coby White would all be really good outcomes for the Cleveland Cavaliers coming out of this draft. And what happens next, I think, will tell us a lot. We'll see what John Beilein has to say about this. We'll see what kind of players he seems to like. But I think 5 could have been worse. I actually think the chaos of the draft helps the Cavs a little bit because you have teams that could have drafted similar guys to them aren't ahead of them. They should, I think, get a chance to take someone like Hunter, someone like Culver, someone like Coby White, and be in a good spot. So I wouldn't feel too bummed out about them picking 5. We're going to have a bunch more in the draft, but we're going to take a quick break and come back with some more Locked On Cavaliers. So stay tuned. All right, and we are back. Okay, so to touch on the other news thing kind of coming out of the draft lottery, this is just going to be a 2-segment show because I don't think there is a ton there in terms of the draft lottery. I would just say that my current ideal combination, if you're looking for a mock, would be, let's say, I'm going to go Jarrett Culver at 5. I'm in on what he really could be. And then if you're looking at 26, I think like Iggy Brzezicis, Grant Williams, Matthias Thybulle are the sort of the names I'm looking at in that range. Those are the names, at least for me, that I am, you know, interested in sort of what they could be. But I'm curious to see sort of what, you know, what John Beilein really thinks about this. So Beilein did speak to the media, at least some media, at the NBA draft lottery. So Orion Tsang, who's a reporter for the Michigan Free Press, covers Michigan football and basketball there, got the chat on John Beilein, and he had some interesting quotes. So Beilein, for one, said it was the right thing to do. There was a lot of consideration. There's never a good time to leave. And Beilein said at the lottery, quote, "I think this was an opportunity that has so much potential. It was too difficult to pass up. It was the right thing to do." He said he watched a lot of film. They have a lot of great young talent. He said the support staff helped, meeting Dan Gilbert, and made a tough decision easier just by there. And he says, you know, I'm going to have to learn the NBA language. He obviously, you know, is going to have to begin the relationship with these players, build a culture that is rock solid. You know, he said he's talked to NBA players. He said, you know, he's again talked up that, talked up the guys the Cavs have, talked up the front office. He's kind of talking a bit about the culture that we've sort of seen him hit on in a number of ways. And I think that is a smart thing, I think a good indication of what really Beilein's going to be doing. I think one thing that was interesting about this was that he said he'd never met Dan Gilbert before. So to quote from Orion saying, he said, quote, "I didn't know him at all, Michigan State guy. But once we met, I think we hit it off right away." You know, I think that maybe throws some cold water on the this was a full-on Dan Gilbert thing. But I think that is quite interesting. Beilein in all of this is going to be the X factor. It's, I think, really cool that he was at the draft lottery. I think it was a smart thing for him to be at the draft lottery. I would say that I think the thing for me with him now is we need to find out sort of what kind of guys he's going to want, what kind of guys him and Kobe Altman are really going to be prioritized grabbing. We'll see what he has to say when he talks to the media. We don't exactly know when he is going to do that. You know, as we sit here, he's likely not going to be in town until next week. I would be surprised if, you know, he talks before next Monday. That to me would be to seem the likeliest day that, you know, his introductory press conference could happen. But him kind of coming on and saying the stuff that he did to media in Chicago, and I'll link to Orion's story and his tweets in the show notes below. I think he's saying a lot of the right things. And my thing with him so far is you're getting a very different vibe than what we got with David Blatt last time the Cavs hired a coach outright and didn't like promote Ty Lue from the inside. With John Beilein, you have a guy that is coming in as an outsider. He isn't an orthodox candidate like David Blatt was. But unlike Blatt, who was very combative, who had a lot of issues and bust-ups with the media, he's coming in with no ego. He's coming in kind of talking about culture, building relationships with players, seeking out advice and being humble about this. And I think that's sort of, if the Cavs learned a lesson from Blatt and still wanted to hire someone unique, finding a guy like Beilein who at least seems to be doing that stuff, and it's very early, that is the caveat here, I think that's a really, really smart thing for the Cavs to do. Things could be worse for them. Things could be more complicated here. Things could be still in flux. They could not have a coach at this, but I think Beilein is giving off the right vibes early. It's a good start. We'll see what he has to say. We'll see what the Cavs do in the draft, but I think 5 and John Beilein, and considering the context of where they're picking at 5, I think it could be worse for them in terms of really what is going to be coming next. This isn't like a home run. This isn't an A, but I think if you're looking at them getting a pivotal point in their offseason, going in the right direction, I think these last 2 days have at least been positive. All right, that's going to be it. Quick show today. Back tomorrow or Thursday, TBD, on when we're going to be back in your feeds. But thanks for listening. And again, follow on Twitter at LockedOnCavs, at CWMWrites. Mailbag questions, LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Have a great Tuesday/Wednesday, depending on when you're listening to this. Have a good one.